You're listening to a message that's being brought to you by International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God, which you're about to receive.
We should be the same with God, amen? In fact, really, we should talk about God and what He's done, just like I just mentioned Brother Jerry Savelle. Of course, we just came out of those meetings, so it's fresh on my brain here. But we should brag on people who help us and bless us. We shouldn't talk about how we were without them. We should talk about what they've done for us. You know, when I think of Mo, I think of what a blessing Mo is, how faithful Mo is, has been with us all these years, and, you know, and quick to pray, and has prayed for all those people in that food bank, hundreds of thousands of people that he's personally prayed for. Over 5,000 prayers minimum a year he prays. Personal prayers for people, looking them in the eye, putting hands on them. 5,400 people came through the food bank. That's not how we minister to. That's heads of families. Are you with me? That's just families. So I don't know how many that would equate out to be. Over 100 a week is what it comes down to. And when I think of Mo, I think about what a blessing he is. I don't think about what we'd be without him. I think about what we are with him. Hallelujah. Amen. And how he stood behind Brent and I over the years and stood up for us and stood and Ron and different ones. And you know, when you think about people, you talk about what they've done in your life. You don't talk about, you know, what you were without them. How does that give them any credit? How does that help them? How does that honor them? I don't talk about how I was without Jesus. I talk about how I am with Jesus. I talk about what he's done for me, how he's washed me in his blood and saved me and filled me with the Holy Ghost, put me back up on my feet again, give me purpose and give me hope and give me vision and give me life and give me strength and come through time and time again and has never failed me. Not one of his promises has ever failed me. He is good and you can trust him, hallelujah. Believe me, he's been good to me. Amen. And I think about how I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Praise God and hallelujah. And he never leaves me, never forsakes me. He's with me even unto the ends of the earth. And I'm a more than a conqueror through him, and I've got the victory through Christ. Hallelujah. And I believe in Jesus, and I overcome the world because I believe in Jesus. I'm somebody different because of Jesus. Jesus has changed my life, and I give him all the credit and all the glory. And I talk about it. I talk about him, and I talk about what he's done in my life and what he means to me. Amen? And that's kind of where I want to go this morning, if that's okay with you. Are you with me? In fact, I think about some of these things. What is it? Turn to Psalms. Psalms 92. It's all so good, you know. Psalms 92, I was thinking about this verse. This is not exactly what I'm teaching on, but it does tie together. In the New Living Translation, it's a little bit different. Psalms 92, verse 4, the psalmist is saying, and you'll find this common in the Psalms. David would get excited, and the psalmist would get excited talking about the Lord. But in the New Living Translation, not the Living Bible, but the New Living Translation, Psalms 92, verse 4 says, "You thrill me, Lord, with all you have done for me. I sing for joy because of what you have done." Man, that's the attitude to have right there, amen? Is that we ought to be thrilled about what the Lord has done for us. Well, I got this going on, I got that going on, I got this need and that need. Well, you need to get thrilled about what the Lord has done for you. And it'll pull you out of that slump, pull you out of that rut, pull you out of that depression. You ought to be excited, hallelujah, about what Jesus has already done for you. He's already done so much. What's this little thing I'm facing compared to what all he's already done? What's this little mountain compared to all the mountains he's already taken care of in my life? Amen? Amen. Well, this will be just like the rest of them. This mountain will flatten out just like the rest of them flattened out. He'll get me across this sea by dry land just like he did the last time. Hallelujah. Because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Praise God. Amen. You know, we need to develop a habit of talking about who we are in Christ and talking God's word and talking his promises instead of talking a problem all the time. You cannot live in victory if you're talking failure. Period. Just can't do it. I'm just talking biblical principle. We'll get into some of that. And we're not talking about mind over matter. We're not talking about just confess and possess. Just confess and possess, although you do need to confess to possess. But you have to believe in your heart, and you have to base it on something other than just what you want or what you desire. We base it on God's word, what God says. Amen? Amen. But no more than you can live in victory and talk defeat, you can't live in failure and defeat and talk victory all the time. Yeah. If you talk victory all the time, you can't live in defeat. You can't live in failure.
That's right.
And the reason is because the power of God's word. It's the power of words. It's what you say all the time. It's the way you look at life and the way you look at yourself. You say, well, this is just a different perspective. No. Is this just a different look? No. This is looking truthfully according to the word of God. Because there are different perspectives on life and different attitudes that you can have. Then there's God's word. Thank you for your enthusiasm. There's your take on it, and then there's God's take on it. Now, I kind of think God's take on it is more than just a take. I believe God's take on it is the truth. Amen? And if we get a hold of the truth, Jesus said, if you know the truth, truth will make you free. Make you free from all those lies you've been telling yourself and everybody else been telling you and the world's been telling you, the circumstance been telling you. You just need to get a hold of what God has done in your life. Quit talking about your weakness, your deficiency, your problem, you know, the circumstance. And let's talk about the Lord. How about that? How about with my mouth, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. That's what the psalmist said. So I should, with my mouth, make known his faithfulness. That's actually Psalms 89, if you're writing notes. 89 verse 1. The psalmist said, I will sing of the mercies of the Lord forever. Okay? With my mouth, I will make known thy faithfulness to all generations. Well, let me tell you what the devil did. Well, no, let's don't talk about the devil. Why don't we talk about God?
Yeah.
Well, let me tell you what I've been going through. Well, why don't we talk about how you got through it? Instead of all the stuff you were in, let's talk about how you got through it. Let's talk about the victory. Listen, fishermen know this principle. They don't talk about the ones they didn't catch. Are you with me? They want to show you that one they got, and they got pictures too, and they know how to hold it out there and make it big. You make the fish big, it's a victory. You want to make your victories big. You want to get a picture of them consuming the whole pit. You're just in the background. This fish is huge. You know, you wonder, every fisherman wish their arms were just a little longer, don't they? Because if you hold that fish out like this, it looks big. And if you can get it way out there, they ought to have like a selfie stick for a camera. They ought to have one for a fish. You can hold out like this. Well, they can't see it. They just see the fish in you, and that thing's about this huge, you know. But what they're bragging on is the victory. Yeah. And what they're magnifying is not the 7-8 hours they've been out there on a lake and caught nothing. They're showing you that fish they caught.
Yeah.
Are you with me? Or the rain they went through, or the wind, or the time they fell out of the boat. I'm not going to go over all that, but anyway. They're talking about the fish they caught. Amen? And that's the way we ought to be bragging on Jesus. We ought to, with our mouth, make known what? The problems? No, his faithfulness. In fact, I'm thrilled when I think, that's what the psalmist says. It thrills me to think of all the good that God has done for me. It thrills me to think that he took me out of my lost state into a saved state, that he washed me in his blood. He saw something in me. He knew he could do something with me. He knew he could make a bright future for me and my family. He could turn me completely around. He cared for me when nobody cared for me. He loved me when nobody loved me. He believed in me when nobody believed me. When I was the most likely to fail, Jesus saw potential. Jesus just saw, he just needs me. If I can get in his life, I'll make his life worth something. And he did. Came into my life and made me worth something. And I will never cease to praise him. I will never cease to thank him. I will never forget what he's done for me. Every time I look at my children and my grandchildren, I thank God that I'm saved. I thank God he saved me. I thank God he opened my eyes, hallelujah, washed me in his blood and took me out of the life I live and put me in a whole new kingdom, hallelujah. And heaven is my destination, hallelujah. I got a reservation up there. I got a paid ticket. It's not just my destination. It is my destiny. Good stuff. Amen. So, turn to Philemon or Philemon, you know, like a light bulb, the filament and a light bulb, however you choose to pronounce that. You know, it'd do you good to go over Bible books and find out how to say them, Because when you get up there and you talk to Habakkuk or Habakkuk, you want to say his name right. You know, when you say, hey, I read your book, Habakkuk, and he says it's Habakkuk or it's Habakkuk. I don't even know which way you pronounce it. But anyway, we're going to meet these guys. Amen. We're going to see them. Notice this, and this is in the New King James Version. King James, New King James, real similar here. Actually, I'll just read the King James. Philemon, 6th verse. There's only one chapter. Notice what it says. Paul's praying here. He's praying that the communication of your faith, the sharing of your faith, would become effectual or productive. I like that, effectual or productive. In other words, let me break that down. How many of you would like to be more productive and effectual in sharing your faith?
Yeah.
Okay? I'm not saying necessarily go pass out tracts, knock on every door. I'm just talking about living for Jesus and sharing your faith and talking about the Lord, you know. I want to be more productive in that, in sharing my faith, okay? The communication of your faith would become effectual or productive, okay? How would that happen? Well, let's notice what it says. By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, the best way I know to share your faith is just to share what happened to you. To confess and acknowledge every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. Now, some of your modern translations talks about by the knowing or the understanding. But actually, I like this better because he's saying you acknowledge and confess. You say it. You actually say, this is how you share your faith. You don't share your faith by thinking or knowing. You share your faith by sharing or saying or speaking. But what are you sharing? What are you saying? Are you saying what you were? Are you saying what you are? Are you saying what you came out of? Or are you saying what you came into? Are you saying how no good you were, or are you saying how good he is? If you want to be effective in sharing your faith, there's no better way to share your faith than to acknowledge and confess every good thing that is in you in Christ Jesus. In other words, instead of talking the problem or talking the past, you're talking the answer and you're talking Jesus. You're acknowledging and you're confessing with your mouth every good thing he's done. You're making known his faithfulness to all generations. You're thrilled and passionate when you think about every good thing he's done to you. Amen? Now, that's talking victory instead of talking defeat. That's not just arrogance. That's not just selfishness. It's not just greed. It's talking what Jesus has already done in your life and talking about him instead of you. And that's sharing your faith. Let me tell you what he's done for me. See, and before you know it, you have just given the whole gospel to somebody by just talking about what he did for you.
Hallelujah.
In a personal way.
That's right. That's
a personal witness. One of the greatest witnesses in a court of law is an eyewitness. And so when you eyewitness to something, you have what is called moral authority to say it. You're not just smarter than that person you're talking to. You're not just arguing a point that they may not believe that you do believe. You're sharing a personal testimony, eyewitness account. It's happened to you. You're sharing what good things the Lord has done in you.
Yeah.
That's like that blind man, those old Pharisees got all upset with Jesus healed. And they said, well, I think he's a sinner. And the blind man said, well, I don't know if he's a sinner or not. I never heard of a sinner healing anybody. And they went back and forth. And the blind man said, well, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But I know I was blind, now I see.
Yeah.
And it said they could say nothing against it. You know, I read a book called Visioneering one time by Andy Stanley, Charles Stanley's son. And he talked about when he was in college, they had a debate class. And there was a lady. They were debating controversial issues, and you could take either side, get up and debate. And when you got through, then the people in the class could debate the issue. And so this lady got up and debated the issue of abortion. She was against it. And she said, and she went through everything. She said, I believe abortion is killing babies. I believe it's murdering babies. I believe it's taking a baby's life. And, of course, she's making this whole, you could tell people are getting upset, waiting for her to get through so they could debate her. And she said, I believe even in the case of rape, that really, if that were possible, you know, and it does happen rarely, that in the case of rape, someone does get pregnant, Those are rare cases instantly if you don't know it. But I believe it's still murder to kill the baby. You know, there's a life there. The life, the baby had nothing to do with this thing. And to take the baby's life is murder. Then she held up this picture and she said, "This is Joey. He's 9 years old." It's not a picture here. I'm just giving you an idea. In fact, it probably was this big. I don't know, you know. But anyway, she said, "This is Joey. He's 9 years old." She said, "He's my baby. I was raped. And he is a fine young man, got a bright future." And then she closed out her debate. And Andy Stanley was in the class. He said nobody said anything because she had moral authority to say what she said.
Yeah.
Are you with me?
Yeah.
She was blessed with this child from this terrible act that took place. Heinous act. Are you with me? But to kill the baby, that would have been murder to do that. Are you with me? Now, the difference between just arguing points and arguing was she had a personal experience and had a child. Are you with me? Now, when you and I talk about Jesus, you ought to get it out of the realm of just doctrine. You know, it needs to be in the realm of you've experienced Jesus. Come on, he's changed your life. He's given you a hope and a future, praise God. He's healed you and set you free and give you strength. I mean, come on, how can anybody talk me out of that? Nobody's going to talk me out of Jesus because he's not just a doctrine to me. He's somebody I know. And with my mouth, I'm going to make known his faithfulness to all generation. In fact, it thrills me when I think of all the good things he's done to me and done for me and doing in me now, praise God. And I tell you what, I'm going to continue to share my faith by communicating every good thing that the Lord has done in me.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Turn over to Proverbs 18. This helping you? I just had this on my heart. I have no notes this morning. I did not know exactly where I was going to go. I just had something burning to start out with, and it was that Psalms 92:4. And, I got stirred up. What did I tell you to turn to?
Proverbs.
Yeah, that's a good one. I like Proverbs. You like Proverbs? I guess I ought to turn there, shouldn't I? This is something you will know if you're writing notes. I mean, this is nothing you haven't heard, but we sure need to go over it. I think what we let slip are simple things. I think we try to complicate situations. I found that since I got saved, it really hasn't gotten more complicated. I've been saved a long time, and still I have to believe God, and I still need to believe God, and I need to say what God says. I need to talk victory if I'm going to live in victory.
Yes.
Amen? If I want to get out of failure and get out of defeat and get out of depression and get out of hurt and get out of pain, then I'm going to start talking about God because he's bigger than the hurt, bigger than the pain, bigger than the problem. Proverbs 18 knows what it says. 20th verse. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips he will be filled. See, that's another reason. Think about why it's so important to talk about God and to brag on God and talk about good things that he has done, because those things begin to grow. What you talk about is magnified. It's like your mouth is like a magnifying glass. And if you don't believe that, anybody ever got offended or hurt and started talking about it and it got huge, got big, you got the knots in your stomach, you got mad? You're driving down the road all by yourself and you are hollering at the windshield. Because next time you see that person, I tell you what, I'm going to tell him this. You just talk that thing up and it's gotten so big because words do that. They magnify something. Hey, I got a new concept here. This might help you. Why don't we magnify the answer instead of the problem? Why don't we magnify God, make him bigger by talking about him instead of magnify the problem and talking about the problem? Or the need, or the weakness in your life, or the problems you're facing. No, let's talk about what God can do and what he's done. And let's let that get bigger and bigger. Now, a man's belly will be satisfied, that's what it says here, with the fruit of his mouth, because what you're saying is bearing fruit. Your words are like seeds. That's what Jesus said in Mark the fourth chapter. He said, the seed is the word of God. So you're just scattering seeds and you're planting. Anybody have a garden? Flower garden? Okay, I know we don't have gardens. Many people don't have gardens anymore, but flower gardens. What do you usually plant in your flower garden? So don't you pick out particular flowers to plant there, or particular bushes, or, you know, different? You decide, though, don't you? And you're real careful, aren't you, about what seeds you put in that ground. In fact, if you see something growing you didn't plant, you pull it out, don't you? Because you don't want it to grow, that stuff. You pull it out there. You want to grow what you planted there. And you think about that, and you understand that process. And every farmer's that way, too. I heard Jerry Seville tell this story about Charles Capps, and I've heard it over and over, told it myself here many times. But Charles Capps was a farmer in England, Arkansas. And when he got hooked up with Jerry, Jerry went into his place and preached in that area in England, Arkansas. And he flew into Charles Capps' farm. Charles Capps had a farm there, and he'd been there before. Jerry had, and he had corn planted, I think, out there. Cotton. He had cotton planted out there. Well, this time he flew in, there was nothing but soybeans growing out there. And as they're flying into Charles's place in his small plane, you know, Jerry's looking around out the plane. They land, they get out, and he says, "Hey, Charles." He says, "What? How come you don't have cotton out here this year?" He said, "I didn't want any." He said, "Yeah, but I just wonder why you don't have any growing at all." He said, "Well, I didn't plant any." And he said, "That's your luggage? Let's go. So Mama's in there. I know she's got something ready. We need to go eat." He's a man of few words, is what Jerry said. So Jerry said, "Yeah, I got one bag over here." And so he reached over to get his bag. And he says, "By the way," he said, "what do you got planted out there?" He said, "Soybean." He said, "Well, why'd you plant soybean?" He said, "Because that's what I wanted." He said, "You going to come on? We got to eat. He said, food's ready over here." So he said, that's the whole conversation. He got his bag and they went inside. And he said, "I got a hold of something. If you don't want something, don't plant it. And if you do want something, plant it. And the way you plant it, biblically, is say it. Word or seed. A man's belly will be satisfied by the what? The fruit of his mouth. And with the increase of his lips, he'll be filled." The Amplified says something different. Yeah. Let me have that and I'll read that off. Proverbs 18:20 in the Amplified, which is kind of loud. Y'all might want to hold your ears. It says, "A man's moral self shall be filled with the fruit of his mouth, and with the consequence of his words, he must be satisfied whether good or evil." That's really what the next verse really goes into detail and says. Notice what it says in the 21st verse, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof." Wow. So why should I be talking about God? So you can experience God in your life, that's why. Why should I be talking about what God has done in my life? So I can keep experiencing that and keep that growing in my life. Why should I quit talking problems? Why would you plant something in your garden you don't like to eat? Why go to the trouble, the effort, and the process of planting something you know you don't like? Yeah. Why pray a problem? Why not pray the answer? Amen. Why talk that thing up constantly? Why talk about the problem constantly? Why talk about what you don't have? Why don't you start talking about what you do have and start talking about what God promises? Hallelujah, somebody. Are you with me? You know, this is something we've done in our church over and over and over, year after year after year after year, is confess the word. We've always confessed the word. And it is supernatural, literally, where we are today in a church our size, in a town our size, and all that we have and all that we do. But I tell you why. It's because those are the seeds we've been planting. Yeah. Not just seeds with our mouths, but seeds with our finances. We've been givers. We've been a giving church from the beginning, the get-go. And we got aggressive with our giving. We really saw increase. You know, we've given over $2 million to missions since 1998, since we got out of debt in 97. I don't know how much the total is, but it's over $2 million. And then we started the food ministry, and we give, and Mo tells those people they can make it. He tells them God loves them. He tells them they can be healed. He tells them they can get out of that mess they're in. He tells them God wants to save them and forgive them and fill them with the Holy Ghost and gives them hope and gives them encouragement and gives them answers. And they come in there, and you can see their countenance change. Not just getting food, they're getting hope. They're hearing help, healing, and hope. They're hearing answers. They're hearing about what God can do. Hey, I've already seen what I can do without Jesus, okay? I don't want an encore. I want to see what Jesus can do in my life now. I got one shot at this thing, one shot. I want to give it all I got, amen? I want to see where God can take me. I want to see what God can do with me. I want to start talking to him and talking to him big, hallelujah, and start speaking life. You cannot live in victory if you talk failure. And you cannot live in failure if you talk victory. You just cannot. Now, notice how the psalmist even talked. You know, Jesus did this too, but notice how David talked in Psalms 23. It's amazing. He connected himself to God. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want." Are you with me? In other words, to talk about God is to connect us to it. God loves me. He's for me. So if God's good, he's going to do good for me. No good thing would he withhold from me. Amen. He delights in my prosperity is what the scripture says. Young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want or lack for any good thing. Doesn't mean I don't go through things. Doesn't mean I don't have crisis. It doesn't mean loss doesn't come and go. But I tell you, when it's all over, I'm still standing. I am a Christian. I am a believer. Hallelujah. I'm washed in the blood. Praise God. God loves me. He's favored me. He'll take care of me. He's got me through. In the past, he'll get me through in the future. One day, I'm going to go right off into glory. Woo! And then it's really going to get good. Are you out there? Doesn't mean we don't face crisis and trials and temptation. I understand that. I know trouble is in this world. We're in a broken, fallen world. But we have hope, and we have healing, and we have help. Amen? And we got a future. And I'm not going to give the devil glory. I'm going to give God glory. I'm not going to talk about the devil. I'm going to talk about the Lord. Hallelujah. And what he can do. I think about that psalm, Psalms 23. We've taught on this, I know, before, but see, I'm not trying to be saved. I am saved. I accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior 40-something years ago, and I am a Christian. So that's done. I am a Christian. I love God. I'm not trying to be saved. I am saved. Because I'm saved, I live holy. I do my best to live holy because I am saved, not to be saved. Okay? So that's something I am, and that's something I talk. That's not something I'm wondering about, I'm worried about. Oh, woe is me, what I do without Jesus. I'm not without Jesus. I have been with Jesus. He has been with me for over 40 years. Are you out there? Amen. And I am thrilled when I think about it. Amen. I'm thrilled when I think about him being in my life all these years and still with me and still loves me. Amen. And still working with me. Hallelujah. Woo! Good stuff. Amen. But David went on. He said, "The Lord is my shepherd." He's not a shepherd. He's my shepherd. "I shall not want." He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me by the still waters. He doesn't lead people by the still waters. He leads me by the still waters. Are you with me? Think about it. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. He doesn't lead people. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name. "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death," he doesn't stay there. He says, no, he says, "I will fear no evil, for you are with me." Me. And your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Thou anointest my head with oil. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I mean, with all this fighting going on and all the enemies I have and all the people against me, God just lays out a table before me in the presence of my enemy. He anoints my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely, oh, come on. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Woo! Now, that's the way to talk. Are you with me? That is the way to talk. Did David have trouble? Of course he did. We know he had trouble. Did he have opposition? Sure, he had opposition. But he knew how to talk. He knew how to talk about God. He knew how to get out of that mess. And he did, amen, over and over and over again. Matthew 12, we'll wrap this up. This helping anybody? It's helping me. I'm glad I came. Hallelujah. Woo. I always say, you know, when people say that was a good message, I say, well, you got to hear it. I got to preach it. Praise the Lord. In fact, you ought to take it and go preach it yourself. Amen. Preach it to yourself. You know, it's been said. In fact, I read this quote. Actually, it was a doctor that said this years ago. He's talking about examining patients and those that got better and those that did not. And he said he found out that most people spend too much time listening to their body instead of talking to their body. Are you out there? We spend way too much time listening to our body instead of talking to our body. Yeah. And we ought to talk to the problem. Amen. Talk the word. Talk, in other words, plant the seed. You know, do you want that in your life? Well, quit talking it. I mean, why would you keep planting something you don't want? Well, what is it that you do want? You know, Jesus said it this way in Mark 11:23, he says this, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, believe those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. And then he says in the next verse, therefore I say unto you, which I always love that because it's actually Jesus gave us a principle of when you say to the mountain, it's a principle that whatever you say, and don't doubt in your heart, believe what you say will come to pass, you will have what you say. That's a principle. Then he turns around and says, therefore, in light of that principle, I say to you, in other words, I'm going to institute this principle. I'm going to put this principle to work. Now, I am going to say so. Do you believe Jesus gets what he says? Okay. You believe Jesus believes what he says? Okay, this is what he said, and this is what he believes, and this is what he put his faith behind, and this is what he confessed. He confessed this, therefore I say to you, that what things you desire, when you pray, believe you receive them, and you shall have them. And you have Jesus' word on that, and you have his faith behind it. Because he instituted or executed, I guess you say, that principle of saying and believing what you say. Now, Jesus believes with all of his heart when he said that to you, that that's what would happen. Now, who am I to disagree with Jesus? So when I pray, I should pray for what I desire and not pray for what I don't desire. I should pray the answer and not the problem. And if I pray the answer, and whatsoever I desire, when I pray, if I believe I receive it, I shall have it. And I've got Jesus' word on that. And I have his faith behind that. Ooh, hallelujah, somebody. Amen. Praise God. So don't pray things you don't want. Don't say things you don't want. Don't talk things that you don't want to keep going in your life. That's like taking a bag of bad seed and getting out of your car when you get home and just throw a little bit out in your front yard. Throw a little in front. Well, I'll just talk it. No, you're just planting is what you're doing. You're throwing seed out there. And those things you say, well, that they're just words. Has anybody ever been hurt by words? Yeah. Anybody ever been helped by words? Words are powerful things. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. They that love us shall eat the fruit thereof. I'm going to eat some good fruit. I want to eat some good fruit, some life, not death. Amen. Matthew 12, y'all found it? Jesus speaking, notice what it says in the 33rd verse. Either make the tree good and its fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and its fruit corrupt. For the tree is known by its fruit. Now he's talking about you as a tree, fruit as what you say. Now we know that because he goes on and says that. And I'll go over that in just a minute. But think about it. How well do you know a person? Do you know them by the way they look? Or do you know them when they start talking? Of course, you know them when they start. I know people that look pretty sharp. And it just doesn't turn out that way when they start talking. I know some people don't look that sharp. When they start talking, they're pretty intelligent. Are you with me? I know some people you look at and you think, well, I kind of like to get to know them. And they start talking, you think, boy, that was a big mistake. I know some people you think wouldn't be interesting at all. And you sit down and talk to them, and they're just fascinating people. You just fall in love with them. What's the difference? A tree's known by its fruit. You get it?
Yeah.
It's not known by the way they look, their dress, their hair, their age, their, you know, the color of their skin, their race. No, no, no. You're known by your fruit. You know, you're known by what comes out of your mouth. Because that's coming out of here. That's coming out of your spirit. That's who you really are. We find out what you like and what you don't like. We find out whether you're nice or whether you're not so nice. Are you out there? Not by your looks. My dad used to say, son, if you keep your mouth shut, you'll make everybody think you're smart. If you open up your mouth, you remove all doubt. He was quoting a proverb. He didn't know it. There actually is a proverb that says, you know, a man of an excellent spirit, you know, is a man that spares his words, you know, and a fool opens up his mouth. So anyway, okay, so he says either make the tree good and his fruit good, that's what you say, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree's known by its fruit. Now you decide what you say, so you make the tree good or bad. You make your life good or bad. You make your future good or bad. You do. How? By the fruit that comes out of your mouth. The fruit of your lips. That's what he's saying. Next verse, he says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So what you speak is the fruit, and that's what makes the tree or breaks the tree. That's what makes a marriage or breaks a marriage. That's what makes your future or breaks your future. That's what gets you into heaven or keeps you going to hell. When you confess Jesus as Lord and Savior, you know what? You confess your way right into heaven by believing in your heart that God raised him from the dead and confessing him with your mouth, Romans 10:9. That's how you get saved. Christianity is a great confession. Believe in the heart and confess with the mouth. He says this, 35th verse, a good man or a good woman, out of the good treasure of the heart, what's inside here, brings forth good things, and an evil man out of the evil treasure brings forth evil things. How? How do I bring things to pass? How do I bring these dreams and desires in my heart to pass? How do I do that? By what I say. I bring them forth when I speak them. If I'm just talking negative, failure, defeat all the time, you know what? I'm just bringing that forth. I'm just bringing that forth. But it's just a product or a result of what I got inside of me. If I fill myself full of God's word and his promises, then what's inside of me is going to come out of me. Hallelujah. That's good stuff. Amen. Two more verses, I quit. This helping you? Okay. Two of you are getting help. It's worth it. Thank you, Eva, for coming. Hallelujah. Okay. 36th verse. But I say to you that every idle word men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in day of judgment. We're going to give account of what we say. In fact, we're reaping what we're saying right now, be it good or be it bad. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And he goes on, 37th verse, for by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be judged or condemned. By your words, not by somebody else's, by yours, by what you say. You might say by your words you'll be saved, or by your words you'll remain lost. If you never do confess Jesus, you never do call on Jesus, whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. But if you never call, then by your own words you'll be lost. You'll remain lost. But if you call, then by your words you'll be saved. Now Jesus is the Savior, I got that. I'm not taking credit for my salvation. But I have to call on him and I have to confess him if that's going to be the case. You want peace in your life? Well, I just say this, by your words you will have peace. Or by your words, you will be depressed. By your words, not everybody else's. You want to get out of that mess you're in? Well, by your words, you will get out of that mess you're in. Or by your words, you will stay in that mess you're in. By your words, not everybody else's. It doesn't matter what everybody else says. What matters is what you say. You know, you say, well, all that matters is what God says. Sure, I got that. But what God says won't help you if you don't say it. What God says is the truth, period. And it doesn't need your second witness on it. It doesn't need you to confirm it. It's the truth. What you do when you say it is you connect with it. You don't make it true. It's already true. You finally come alive to what the truth really is. You've been lied to all your life. You've been bamboozled. You've been run over. Hello. You need to quit that insanity. Get a hold of the word. Start saying what God says and start seeing good things come to pass in your life, in the life of others. Amen. Acknowledge every good thing that's in you in Christ Jesus. And here's some good things. I'm saved, I'm healed, I'm filled with the Holy Ghost, I'm blessed and can't be cursed. Amen. I'm too blessed to be stressed, too anointed to be disappointed. Hallelujah. I've been blessed by the best. Praise God. I'm going over, not under. I'm ahead, not the tail. I lend to many nations and shall not borrow. He blesses the work of my hand. I'm blessed coming in and I'm blessed going out. I'm blessed in a basket at my store, and he causes the rain to come down my land in its season. I'm just blessed, blessed, blessed. Amen. May not look that way, may not feel that way, but that's what the Word of God says, and that's what I'm saying. I'm coming out of this mess, praise God. I'm not going to stay down here. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Hallelujah. As far as my future, I'll tell you what I think about my future. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, stand up, give the Lord a shout. Woo! Amen, amen. It just comes down to simple talking the Word. You know, you're going to talk something. You're going to talk what's in your head. You're going to talk what in other people's heads. Or you're going to talk the Word. It's just not that complicated. We make it complicated. God wants you to stand on the Word of God. And He wants a witness to what He does. That's who we are. We're witnesses to what the Lord does. Praise God. Woo! How many of you love Jesus? Put your hand up high. Not ashamed of it. Isn't it great to be saved? Yeah, I think it's everybody in here. Well, let's determine to shine our light. You say, how? Just share what happened to you. Anybody been blessed this week? Anybody been healed? Oh, yeah, we talked about that already. Several has been healed. Next time you run across someone that's sick, talk about how you got healed. Ask them if they want you to pray for them. Amen. Somebody depressed, talk about how you come out of depression. And you were down one day and the Lord picked you up. Praise God. Put you back on your feet again. Ask if they want you to pray for them. Praise God. You have moral authority to do that because you have had it happen to you. Amen? Yeah. I can talk about salvation because I've been saved. Praise God. All right. Well, feed your faith. Starve your doubts to death and let them die. Shake a hand and hug a neck. You are dismissed. God bless you.